Let's give them another hand. Didn't they do a great job? When we think of Christmas, it's not the gifts or the Christmas tree, all the traditions that we love. The Christmas story is this story that begins with the arrival of Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, announcing to Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son, and extends several years to the wise men coming from a far journey to worship the child. Luke gives us five stories, and Matthew several more. All of those woven together give us the Christmas story. The birth is a completely natural birth, although there are supernatural events surrounding Jesus' birth, such as the angels appearing to shepherds. It's the conception that people have a difficult time accepting. The virgin birth, that's the miraculous part. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the part of the Christmas story that begins with Mary. First of all, the angel Gabriel, who had made his announcement to Zechariah 6 months before. It had been 500 years since he had visited the earth. He had visited Daniel before, and then Zechariah. 6 months later, he returns. Not to Jerusalem, which is about 70 or 80 miles away, but to a very rural place called Galilee. And not to the city of Jerusalem, but to a small rural town called Nazareth. It is so rural, it is so insignificant, it isn't mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament or any of the Jewish writings or Josephus the historian. It's an insignificant place, considered worthless. It was overrun by Gentiles and Roman soldiers. But it's to that place that Gabriel the angel is sent, because in that city lives Mary. Now, I know all about insignificant cities. I grew up in an insignificant city in California called Riverdale. It's so small that when you enter the city, on the opposite side of the sign, it says you're now leaving the city. A few weeks ago, we were watching the news, and it said that there was flooding in Riverdale, California. I instantly knew that it was false because there is no water there. There's no flooding. So it showed pictures of cars underneath an overpass and the water was up. Well, there's no overpass there. So it's not Riverdale. They confuse it with a city called Riverside. Nazareth was like that. Very insignificant. When one of the disciples named Nathanael was asked about serving Jesus, and he said, "Where's he from?" And they said, "Nazareth." Nathanael's response was, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" That's actually how all people felt about Nazareth. Gabriel comes to the town of Nazareth to see one person, Mary. Scholars believe she was very, very young, maybe around 14 years of age. Mary was so young, she couldn't have accomplished much anything in her life by that young age. Most young women would have married by that age, have many, many children, and die in obscurity. That was probably Mary's role. But Mary's life is to change in an unbelievable way. In fact, later, Mary writes a song. It's one of the most beautiful songs in the Bible. And here is a verse out of that song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." One thing is for sure, Christmas is about visiting the poor and the humble. Not just poor economically, but poor in heart. That's who God goes to. That's who the gospel goes to. People who realize they have need. People who think they have no need, the Savior bypassed them. He went to a humble young girl named Mary. He went to the humble shepherds. So Mary has grown up in this town of Nazareth, far from the province of Judea in Jerusalem, the city, but she's part of a community that believes that there is a Messiah that's coming, that's going to save them. She has no idea that God has ordained her life to intertwine with the very prayer that she has been taught to pray her whole life. She's very young, but she's already engaged. It took place in the synagogue where she grew up. She's engaged to a carpenter named Joseph, and 12 months later, they will be married. Their engagement is just as binding as marriage. In fact, it takes a divorce to break off an engagement. It's 9 months before Christmas, 9 months before that scene we all imagine, the stable and the shepherds and baby Jesus. And this powerful angel from heaven named Gabriel arrives in Nazareth. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. It had to be quite a moment. We know that when Gabriel, 6 months before, appeared to Zechariah to tell him that he and his wife were going to have a son, he was so terrified that the angel had to speak to him to calm down. 500 years before, this same angel had appeared to Daniel the prophet. It's recorded in the book of Daniel. Daniel, too, was speechless. So here this young girl is confronted with this powerful, powerful angel, and he says to her, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary must have thought she was dreaming, but the presence of the angel didn't go away. What could he mean? Well, this has been interpreted by some to mean "Hail Mary, full of grace," as the Latin Vulgate has translated it. The same words were said to Stephen, but it has been translated by some that this is the moment that Mary received so much grace that she has become the dispenser of grace, and that we should pray to her. Such is a distorted and unjustified doctrine that Mary herself would be horrified that anything could have ever been concocted about her. But, on the other hand, Mary was about to become the mother of Jesus. Think of it. That baby Jesus would have borne her own features. You could have looked into the face of Jesus and seen Mary. He would be her mother, his mother. It's an incredible thought. Mary's response in verse 29 says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The word "wondered" is the same word for "ponder." She kept pondering the meaning. That's pretty complimentary for a young girl that age to have that kind of ability to reflect and to think. She wasn't shallow or flighty. As Psalm 119 says, "I will meditate on your precepts." She had that ability. You know, the virgin birth isn't believed today in many churches and circles around the world. It's too preposterous. But this is a story that actually happened. A real place in history, a town called Nazareth, an insignificant place with real people, real characters. And what was about to happen to Mary is the most miraculous thing of the Christmas story. Gabriel announces it in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." How shocking this announcement must have been. It must have taken some time to soak in as Mary is pondering it and just thinking about what is being said. Gabriel goes on to explain even more of what he's speaking about. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary was hearing that she was to mother the long-awaited Messiah. What she has been taught from her earliest years, she is now to become the mother of the Messiah. Mary begins to understand, you're going to become pregnant, Mary. You're going to call him Jesus. He will be the Son of God. He will be the Messiah. Mary asks for some clarification. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? She has an inquisitive mind, and this isn't a question of doubt. It's a question of understanding how this would happen, since she is a virgin. She has no sexual relationship with Joseph. They're engaged. She will save herself for marriage. So how could she become pregnant? And Gabriel explains, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the one to be born will be called the Son of God. There is no sexual overtones between divinity and humanity here. This is the divine overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for us to understand simply that it's a miraculous conception that God made happen. Certainly, it's possible Mary felt it when it happened, maybe in that moment, or maybe as the angel left. But she was aware that this was a miraculous thing that was happening to her. Gabriel leaves her with a sign. He says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be barren and is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth had been in hiding for 6 months. She was past the age of bearing a child and probably a pretty smart lady. And so all the tags wouldn't, the tongues wouldn't wag. She just stayed in her house for 6 months. And I'll only have to put up with this for 3 months. So Mary was finding out for the first time that her older cousin was already 6 months with child. Gabriel's parting words to Mary are these powerful words, nothing is too hard for God. What I want you to recognize this morning is Mary's response. Her first response is one of belief and trust. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. That is an incredible response from such a young woman. No wonder she was chosen from the billions of women by God to bear the Son of God. She later talks about her belief in her song, verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She not only believes, but she says, I am the Lord's servant. This is a reminder of what Christmas is all about. It's about believing and surrendering to be God's servant. In a fine book by Max Lucado entitled The Cosmic Christmas, he gives us some dimensions of what this story may have looked like from the perspective of this powerful archangel, Gabriel. He motioned toward me, and I responded, kneeling again before him. Handing me the necklace, he explained, this vial will contain the essence of myself, a seed to be placed in the womb of a young girl. Her name is Mary. She lives among my chosen people. The fruit of the seed is the Son of God. Take it to her. But how will I know her? I ask. Don't worry, you will. I could not comprehend God's plan, but my understanding was not essential. My obedience was. I lowered my head, and he draped the chain around my head. Amazingly, the vial was no longer empty. It glowed with light. Tell her to call my son Jeshua, Savior. How thrilling had been our send-off. Michael the archangel read to us the words from the Book of Courage, the winged troop saying to the father, begging his spirit to accompany our battalion. The father rose from his throne in a flood of cascading light and gave us words of strength. To the angels he urged, be strong, my ministers. To me he reminded, Gabriel, Satan desires to destroy the seed as much as you desire to deliver it. But fear not, I am with you. Thy will be done. I resolved and took my place in the apex of the troops. It was time to leave. I began a song of praise to signal our departure. One by one, the angels joined me in worship and sang. One final time, I faced the light. We turned and plunged into the heavenlies. On the wave of his light, we flew. On the crest of our songs, we soared. Paragon was at my right, and Aegis was at my left, both handpicked by the Father to guard the vial, ever able, ever nimble, and ever obedient. So immense was our number, I could not see its end. Our strength knew no bounds. We flew as a torrent of stars through the universe. I at the helm, thousands of angels behind me. I delighted in a backward glance at the flood of silver wings rising and falling in silent rhythm. From them came a constant flow of spontaneous praise to God. To God be all the glory. Only He is worthy. Mighty is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The battle belongs to God. I had chosen only the most able angels for my company, for only the most able could face the foe. Every angel had been willing, but only the most skilled warriors had been chosen. We passed the galaxy of Ebon and the constellation of Immense. Out of the corner of my eye, I caught the glimpse of Eglon, a planet ringed once for every child found faithful to the Father. Through the constellation of Clarion and into the stellar circle of Duryas, around my neck dangled the glowing vial, its mystery still beyond my understanding. As the Father received our praise, he whispered to me. I heard him as if at my side, go, Gabriel, go tell Mary. On a wave of worship, I flew, this time alone. I circled through the clouds and over the ground. Below me was the city where Mary was born. The Father was right. I knew her in an instant. Her heart had no shadow. Her soul was as pure as any I had seen. I made the final descent. Mary. I kept my voice low so as not to startle her. She turned and saw nothing, and then I realized I was invisible to her. I waved my wings before my body and incarnated. She covered her face in the light and shrank into the protection of the doorway. Don't be afraid, I urged. The minute I spoke, she looked up toward the sky. Again, I was amazed. I praised my Father for his wisdom. Her heart is so flawless, so willing. Greetings. God be with you. Her eyes widened, and she turned as if to run. Mary, you have nothing to fear. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule over Jacob's house forever. No end ever to his kingdom. Though she was listening, she was puzzled. But how? I've never slept with a man. Before I spoke, I looked up. The Father was standing, giving me his blessing. I continued, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called the Holy Son of God. Nothing you see is impossible with God. Mary looked at me and then up in the sky. For a long time, she gazed into the blueness, so long that I too looked up. Did she see the angels? Did the heavens open? I do not know, but I do know that when I look back at her, that she was smiling. Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. As she spoke, a light appeared in her womb. I glanced at the vial. It was empty. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Christmas, because it is that moment that you had predestined, that you had ordained for your Son to come to this earth. No human being could ever have dreamed of this story. It is beyond us. What the angel Gabriel brought was the announcement of the birth of the Savior for all sinners. If there is one thing we know and cannot deny, that we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Our world is so lost in its own sin. It has always been this way. It always will be. But you sent a Savior. In the form of a helpless babe, not accompanied by powerful armies or grandeur, to a stable, an insignificant town in Nazareth, to a young, unknown peasant girl named Mary, and she would bear your son. And he would grow up to become our Savior. And today, we tell you we believe in the miraculous conception that Jesus was born of a virgin because he came to save us. And I pray as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us through the songs and continues to speak now through these words, that each person in here would humble themselves and realize that Christmas comes to the humble. It comes to the poor of heart. It comes to the one who says, I am needy. I need a Savior. If that is you, would you please humble yourself and open up your heart and acknowledge to God that you want this Savior. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I acknowledge my sinfulness, my waywardness away from you. I ask you to forgive me because I truly repent of my sin. I turn away from all my transgressions. In my own frustration, I declare I cannot save myself. I cannot cleanse my way. But I ask you to save me. I believe this baby is my Savior. He became Christ on the cross who died for me, and I accept him today as my Savior. I ask him to take away all of my sins. I put all of my trust, and like Mary, I believe I am his servant. I pray for every person who has prayed that prayer, that their faith and their trust in you will grow and that they will walk with you. And we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We thank you for being here. We do have service tonight. Greet each other in the love of the Lord today before you leave.